right. Thank you, Billy Idol. We do have a whole lot of flesh for your fantasy.
Fantasy.
Especially when Chris and I are involved. What's up, Chris?
Man, everything. That Mr. first Chris week Esteen, didn't go too good for me, man. I don't know.
No?
I'm going to have to redo my strategy.
Hey, it's week one.
It's week one. Who cares?
Don't get overly excited about week one either way.
Right. I agree.
Unless you're me and you won by 60 plus points.
I just feel bad because I was really, really boosting up the Saints in that first first one. I'm about to keep my Homer stuff to myself. I can see that now.
All right. Well, this is the fourth installment of the Fantasy Football Dish.
Number four. Four.
I know. And they're flying by. We just got through week one. And today we are here to come talk about some more fantasy football. What happened week one? What, you know, get into week two, and all of a sudden, all these news stories broke out.
Oh my goodness!
The fantasy football landscape has changed.
You know what I found interesting when we first started just doing, you know, our sports shows anyway. Everybody has a story. Sports. You know, we were like, you know, we want to talk about stuff that's not being talked about. And it is funny because the topics that we're going to cover is normally stuff that's not being talked about, and now it's being like, you know, just broadcast it.
Yeah, especially when it's just breaking. We have to address it. Maybe, like I said, and if we're talking about stuff that's getting talked about a lot, I like to come at it a different way.
Right.
So, obviously, we're talking about, you know, AP Adrian Peterson with It's Just Breaking. By the way, this is, what time are we at? 6:30? 7 on a Friday night. So, today it just broke that Adrian Peterson's been arrested and for child abuse. And neglect, is that?
Yeah, it said here, I got it right here. Adrian Peterson deactivated, he's a robot now. Deactivated after reported indictment for reckless or negligent injury to child.
Yeah, so in other words, he's deactivated. Ouch. From this week. It's this week's game on Sunday.
Right.
His lawyer came out and said that basically the whole thing is stemming from the fact that he used a switch to discipline his 4-year-old son. From what I understand, this son does not live with him. Like, his 4-year-old son was visiting him, and he, you know, took a switch and hit him with it. Went home to mom, had bruises, marks, and all that.
Right.
And then obviously mom apparently took action. And this has been a process over the past few months. Kind of culminating today into the actual indictment and arrest of Adrian Peterson. But from all accounts, Peterson's been completely cooperative with the I believe it was the grand jury and everything. So, I mean, okay. I'm not going to go too deep with this, Chris. Yeah, I'm going to give my point of view, or at least I'm going to give my statement that I want to make.
All right.
And then, you know, you can go with it and do your thing as you will. Okay, it sounds like where we're heading towards is this might be an issue of him disciplining the child the way he sees fit. Like I said, we're kind of speculating now. We don't have all the information. But it sounds like he disciplined his child that doesn't live with him. Obviously, like we just talked about before, with a switch.
Right.
How do I want to start off with it? Okay, things first. You're an NFL star. You make millions and millions of dollars. You're a public figure. I'm guessing by him being cooperative the whole way, you know what I mean? That statement, I am going to venture to guess that statement means whatever his role is in this, he's confident that there's been no wrongdoing on his behalf. Like, I'm thinking more along the lines of this is going to be the stubborn, hey, I disciplined my child the way I was disciplined as a kid. You know, that argument, right?
Right.
This may very well turn into, you know, what is acceptable or proper ways to discipline children. You know, we might get into spanking and hitting with switches. It looks like we're going that way. On that point, the only thing I really want to say is you're a celebrity. You're a millionaire. You don't really get that option, okay?
Not really.
It's just because your mom did it to you, it's okay. Okay, I'm going to get a little let me put it this way. And I said it to my wife this way. It's okay to hit your child with a switch if he stole some of your chaw. Right?
Right.
Because
right.
that's indicative of the fact that that's the lifestyle you live. That's right. where you live.
Right.
If he didn't steal some of your chaw, you don't hit him with a switch.
Right.
He didn't steal any of Adrian Peterson's chaw. Just right. you know what I'm saying? Adrian Peterson, you went to the University of Oklahoma, and now you're a millionaire NFL player. You've been all around the country, probably all around the world. You should have a more modern, a more progressive outlook and approach. You kind of have to. I'm not making this indicative on, I'm not saying that, if you want to spank your children or whatever is wrong or right, I'm not worried about getting into that. My point being is Adrian Peterson in his position can't do that. He just can't. When you're in a high profile position, if you want to be able to do that, you don't get to be an NFL star running back. You go live in the backwoods or you go live, not even that. I'm just saying you go live where the modern day and modern times and the progressive nature of society hasn't really caught up to your lifestyle yet. There's all kinds of little areas of the country where it's more of an old-fashioned lifestyle, where I'm sure kids are getting hit with switches. There's plenty of things that my grandfather said and did, and my grandfather's a great guy. But you know what? There's certain things I go, ooh, I couldn't say those things that way now. Even though, my grandfather did and his life went fine and I my grandfather's a great guy, but I live in a society that's progressed and I live in an area where that's unacceptable. So I don't have the luxury of being stubborn and making that statement because it doesn't matter if I think it's right or wrong. It's offending somebody. Same with this. I mean, and we're going into a whole different thing because, like I said, this apparently isn't a child that lives with him. He's not the primary caretaker for this child. I think that plays a huge role in it, too.
Right, right.
Because you kind of got to abide by whoever the primary caregiver is, albeit, as in the mother. You kind of got to fall in line with whatever she deems proper because she, the child lives with her.
Right. She's the one taking care of the kid.
Okay.
Most of the time.
I look at it this way. If Steve Harvey came out on the Family Feud tomorrow, okay, this is the most logical analogy I can give you, Chris. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
If Steve Harvey came out tomorrow, right, and there was a grandmother, a mother, and then an aunt, all women ranging from the 20s, 30s, 40s to 50-year-olds. Say there was five women. If he came out and when he introduced to each one of them, right?
Right.
Said hi and went and kissed them each on the lips as he said hi to them. How would people react to that?
Oh, they'd be like, "Oh no, Steve, what's going on?" That would be inappropriate.
Okay, but then Steve would come out and say, "Well, hey, Richard Dawson in the 70s when he hosted Family Feud kissed every woman on the lips on every show, and the show was great and worked fine back then. So I'm going to do it now. Would that work out okay?"
It would not work out.
Steve Harvey doesn't get to do what Richard Dawson did on the Family Feud back in the 70s,
which sucks.
You watch those old right. I watch those old episodes, and it's the most disturbing thing ever. But the women were fine with it. They were kissing Richard Dawson every week or every episode. But, life has changed. In that arena, in that forum, it's inappropriate behavior, right? Maybe there's some little corner nook of the, I'm sure there are, of the country where that's appropriate. That's all fair game. I was talking to my wife and, we're talking and we've also had these other issues. Not we, but, society, we're dealing with Ray Rice, like domestic issues and things like that. There was a time a long time ago where if a guy were to beat his wife, the outlook would be, hey, it's his house.
Right.
It's his wife. And obviously that's not okay now.
No, definitely. Right. Right.
I mean, that's a whole another extreme example, but it's just an example of the fact that just because your mama did it and your grandmama did it doesn't necessarily make it okay for you.
Right.
Not being the person you are now.
Right.
I'd be a public figure, a celebrity, a representative of a $1 billion company.
Exactly.
He's essentially in a lot of ways, the CEO, because he is the star. He's the representation of the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
He gets paid as such. And there's stuff that comes along with that. You just can't do stuff like that. You can't. And it's not a matter of right or wrong, should be allowed to or shouldn't be allowed to. In his status, in society, you just can't.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, where was the NFL when my dad was whipping my ass? I'm sorry. I could have used you guys. You could have brought us an indictment.
Well, you weren't running a 4.340, so they didn't care about you.
Oh, I was running. but I had to come home to eat, and that's what he got me. You know, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light. Obviously, I don't have all the facts in the situation, but based off of, you know, what we've read, you know, I feel like this. I feel like you're right. He's a representative of the NFL. And you know, with everything that's going on, you know, you got to always, even if, you know, Ray Rice and all that stuff wasn't going on, you got to always be aware of that. You know, yeah, there your grandmama whooped you and nobody really cared. You wasn't, you know, she wasn't, you know, nobody famous. She was just your grandma. She did what she did, what she felt was right in raising you. And I understand if Adrian Peterson feel like he was doing what was right in raising his kids. You know, I've spanked my kids. I never took a switch to them because I didn't like the fact of when I was hit with a belt and different things like that. But, you know, hey, there's been times where, you know, hey, anger get the best of you. I spanked my kids and had to revamp my thoughts on things and go, you know what? You know what? I want to try something different. I don't want to go down the same path as that my father did. Yeah. Did I turn out to be an okay guy? You know what? I think I did. I think that those whoopings kept me out of jail, kept me out of trouble. I wasn't out running the streets. I wasn't out doing a lot of stuff. Why? Because I feared my dad. But then, you know, with my kids, I want more for them to respect me and understand where I'm coming from. My dad and them also grew up in a generation where kids are to be seen and not heard. So I couldn't speak my opinion. Today, my kids, they can speak their opinion with respect, of course, but they see that I respect them, so they in turn respect me. It's not a fear thing because I want them to be able to come to me. So, like, as far as with everything that's going on, you know, with him, hopefully he's right. I mean, obviously, his technique or whatever he felt he was doing was right. It left marks on a child. And I don't agree with leaving, you know, any kind of marks on a child. Like you said, you know, your kid's still your child. The kid is doing stuff that if they grow up, they will go to jail. Stealing, you know, hurting, doing stuff like that, you know, about to touch a stove and burn their hands off. Yeah, I'm gonna spank you, little bud. I'm gonna put you in timeout, do whatever I gotta do. I'm not gonna let you run all over me. But at the same time, you know, you just a switch. I mean, how old? I mean, that just, what is this, the color purple?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Go get that switch off the tree. Who's using switches? You're in the NFL. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, geez, ain't there some kind of virtual switch they make on Wii or something you could use? Can't you just take away their video games? I mean, you know, I understand. And it was kind of like Chris Rock stand up, you know, I can't say it's right, but I understand your kids will take you there. You know, it's a hard job being a parent. I'm not jumping on this bandwagon saying he was right. But, you know, dude, that's just ignorant. You got to come, like you said, billion-dollar industry, the NFL is. And in his situation, he is the leader of that team. I mean, you know, this guy, everybody want him on a fantasy. You know what? I didn't get him. So, you know, if you want to spank a couple more kids, whatever. So I don't want you scoring on me anyway. But, you know, I just feel like, yeah, this is progressive. Like you're in 2014. You should know better. Regardless of the outcome, I don't, you know, you shouldn't have left any marks on your child, period. You know what I mean? It's messed up because there's a lot of parents that would get forgiveness because there wouldn't be the law involved. You know, hey, if I was to spank my kid and I would be just as wrong as him, you know, and I would have a chance to realize, you know what, that got a little hairy. I don't like the way that felt. You know, we've all kind of been there as parents. If you haven't been there, hey, kudos for you for being perfect. Right. You know what I mean?
You're lying.
Yeah, I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? And I'm just keeping it real and honest. I've spanked my kids before, and I've also come up with other solutions. But I also talk with my kids. They also can conversate back with me. I want them to understand what they're doing wrong, you know, and why they're being punished. So now my kids are all older, and I've been stopped. I can't remember the last time. We can put them in here on the mic. They can't remember the last time that they got a spanking, because, you know, you progress. Like, as a child, as a baby, you know, hey, okay, a little no, but, you know, your kids are old enough to know better. Then you take stuff away from them that they like, and you spend more time with them. And obviously, if he's not the primary parent, and also he's, you know, practice and between practice and NFL, how much do you really get to see your kid? It's probably why the mother is the primary care, you know? So when you do see him, you know, you got limited time, you're gonna be spanking him. There's a lot of issues.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go deeper than that, but I was thinking, like, what kind of situation can be coming up if this is a kid that doesn't live with you to right. where you're getting driven to discipline by using a switch? Like,
right.
That you don't seem to have that kind of relationship. It's more like, hey, I'm happy to see my kid. And you don't really, it's just not like that. So that, again, I want to reiterate, we don't know. Like I said, this is Friday, September 12th.
Right.
Tomorrow, the next day, we might be completely off base on far as where this story is going. I'm just basing it on what we've heard so far, where I think it's going to go, you know, along the lines of discipline children and what's proper, what's not. And you know, we've kind of gone on a tangent about that. And we'll see going forward. But yeah, that was another thing just touched kind of odd to me, was like, yeah, this is a kid you barely, no, we don't know if he barely sees him, but you don't have right. him on an every night basis.
Well, the reason I you know, like, hey, we don't know if he barely sees him, but given the circumstance, I know I see my kids every day. Every day I see them. So if you're not seeing them for a whole NFL season, you know, or rarely, you know, we don't know, and obviously it's not the primary care, it's safe to say he's not seeing them as much as a parent that in the home, you know, full time, you know, all every day when I come home from work, my right. kids are here. He's not seeing them that much. So to me, he's barely seeing them.
And the other thing I found odd is, you got to remember Adrian Peterson a couple of years ago was the one that had a 2-year-old son that I believe he didn't know about. But his 2-year-old son was brutally murdered by his.
I didn't know that. Oh,
it was his right. ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend.
Right.
Murdered, abused, and murdered, which he's been convicted of.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking
a 2-year-old
that
child, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Adrian Peterson didn't find out that the child was his until this tragedy.
Wow.
So you'd think that would kind of, you know, I mean, again,
dude, you'd want to be hands off for real,
right? Like, that would, you would think that would have an effect. Like I said, but then again, you know, everyone. Is it, you know, reacts in their own way to extreme situations. But again, it's not, I'm not sitting here, like I said, Chris told you his background. I was never spanked or anything like that growing up, and I never felt it was necessary. I don't, but the people that do and think it is necessary, I'm not going to sit here and tell them they're wrong.
Right.
That it's a wrong thing to do. And my point being, though, is, when it comes to things like when you're hearing words like switches, like we're right. talking about, when you're an NFL running back,
switches what?
And you're a star athlete, switches shouldn't be in the repertoire. Yeah.
Did
so
he make
speak.
Them go pick it off the tree too? Like, yeah. I don't. What?
But we'll see how this story goes forward.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, this is a fantasy football podcast.
Fantasy.
15, 20 minutes later. So anyway, to round it out, back to fantasy. Sit of the week: do not start Adrian Peterson because he will not be playing due to a switch. And the consequences thereof. So we'll see where that story goes. Peterson is out this week. Who knows what that means going forward, especially now that he's been officially arrested. I don't know. He might just be shut down until this is, until, you know, it's the just, end is determined.
What's going on, man? It's wow.
Other stories. So we'll move on from AP.
Let's leave AP. You know, that's probably the lightest thing that's going on right now is him spanking his kid.
We talked about this last week, and it just happened today, actually. The new drug policy was implemented. And now it looks like Wes Welker, who did not play last week because he was serving a 4-game suspension, no longer has a 4-game suspension. So he's ready to roll this week, this Sunday.
Yay.
So, hey, all you guys, especially on your points per reception leagues, Wes Welker's out there. Snatch him up.
I got him already.
From what I understand, he's ready to roll on Sunday, and he'll be good for the rest of the year. Yeah. Another one towards the end of the year that you got to be considering, maybe throw him on the back of your bench, Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
I'd heard 8 weeks, and now we're hearing – well, anyway, he had a whole year suspension he was serving. I heard initially it was reported that it's been dropped to 8 weeks, but it looks like – is it 10, Chris?
It said 10. The last thing I heard about it, trying to find it. But, yeah, it was 10 weeks.
So he, obviously he's missing about half the year, but when he comes back, that's end of your regular season.
He's healthy. Here it goes right here. Reported Browns, Josh Gordon, to have suspension reduced to 10 games.
Okay, so he's missing the first 10 games. But, guys, this is the guy who led the NFL in receiving yards last year. So if you have the opportunity to put him on the back of your bench, this is a guy that can help you win at, you know, win the playoffs at the end of the year and win the championship. Because playoffs usually start about week 14. That means he'd be about 3 or 4 weeks in, round, completely rounded in the shape at that point. And this, you might have yourself a brand new stud receiver. And it might be the difference from winning the championship or not. So something to consider.
Right. It says Brown, will have his suspension reduced from season-long to 10 games because of the stage he was in. Fourth violation equals 10 games.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with what we talked about as far as remember the levels, how I was talking about the low level. So we'll see.
What does that mean? Like four times? I mean, he had
it's the fourth time he's been violated. Mm. Yeah, his fourth. I think it's his fourth suspension. Yeah, I think it would be like his fourth suspension being caused from, you know, failed drug test. So either way, I mean, don't get me wrong. I put him on the back bench and then see, because from all counts purposes, the guy has issues, and I'm hoping he's been working through them.
Right.
But obviously he's, I mean, we're talking years-long issues, so, you know, he has a problem.
And yeah, because he just had a DUI or something like that that they were talking about. Yeah.
Oh, he's had multiple things.
Right.
So, you know, but he's a talented guy. Keep him on the back of your roster. Keep an eye on him. They'll be talking if they feel like he's mentally, physically going to be ready to roll by the end of the suspension. And then go from there. Like I said, Wes Welker, get him. All right, well, let's go back now. Let's kind of go take a rewind here to week one and talk about
how bad I suck.
Well, we won't. We'll just talk about what happened. One thing I won't say, I love week one of fantasy because you heard Chris right there. Just like week one in the NFL, everybody loses their mind. Your team loses.
Right.
All of a sudden, their record is 0-1.
Oh, no.
And the team sucks, and all the 1-0 teams are great because you're either undefeated or you're
trading everybody.
After week one, you're either undefeated or you've never won a game. You've never won a game this season. So it's pretty extreme. My advice is don't take week one too seriously.
Right.
Okay, there's plenty of guys out there. Your Allen was Allen Hurns, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What, three touchdowns, I think, 100 yards? Yeah,
I was like.
There's always those. Now, everyone's going to be jumping.
To get him.
To grab these guys up. You may never hear from him again. I guarantee you, a couple of these, I call them the week one darlings, you're never going to hear from again. He's a great candidate for it. Okay. Guys, I do like that are out there. Here's what I'll say. Basic guidelines. When, especially when it comes to receivers. That's great. He had 100 yards. I think he had 2 touchdowns. What I don't like is he had 3 catches. That means he made 3 big plays.
Right.
Right? Just happened that day to have 3 big plays, which is great, you know. But it's not indicative of the fact I like to see a guy who has a big day and he caught 8 or 9 balls. Because you know what that tells me? That offense is looking for him on a consistent basis. Right. You know, like, what's his name? Kelvin Benjamin, I think it is, Carolina.
Oh, yeah, they threw to him. Yeah.
You know, I looked, he looked good. He looks like a guy who's going to be a focal point of the offense. So if he's around, give him a look. He's drafted in a lot of leagues anyway, but not all of them. But watch out for these week one darlings, the guys you've never heard of that all of a sudden blew up.
Not everybody.
A majority of them is you've just seen their best week of the year.
Right.
There will be one or, you know, there will be a couple of them that sprinkled in and you're like, you know, they end up being, wow, that guy blew up this year. It's, you know, it'll be his breakout year. But look for the, you know, the running back that, you know, blows up for 100 yards and only had about 10 carries to do it. What you're wanting to see is, you know, going forward, are they getting the touches? Are they getting the carries? Are they getting the receptions? Are they getting the targets? Is this a guy who was a fluke, or is the team committed to having this person be a part, you know, be a focal point of their offense?
Right.
So look for that. And that, the same instance, just because the established studs sucked week one, don't go and drop them. I'll tell you what, Chris, this is my, as a fantasy football player for years.
Right.
I always call right after week one Christmas. Okay,
because you're about to get to,
because everybody, because right, everyone's looking like, oh, who's open, who's available. No, I'm not looking at who's available.
Right,
I'm waiting until after the ones are available. Who you dropping to get that person?
Right.
Be on the lookout because people will drop good, solid players because they're freaking out because they had a bad week one.
Right,
happens all the time. So right now, and that which is right now, people, this is Friday. Go into your transactions of your fantasy leagues. Look at who everybody's dropping. Start, hey, and enjoy. Merry Christmas. Because one of my favorite things to do is to go back and say, hey, dude, thank you. Thanks for him. People are dropping fifth round picks after week one because the guy happened to, you know, get in a game where it wasn't even his fault. You know, running back, his team got blown out and he only got 11 carries. And they want to drop him because they want to pick up Allen Hurns. Yeah, two touchdowns. All of a sudden, he's never heard from again. So be mindful. It's week one.
Right.
The guy you drafted him for a reason. There's probably some history there. Chill out.
Definitely.
The ones that blew up aren't as good as they played that week. And the ones that were horrible aren't as bad as they played that week.
And I agree with that because, you know, it's that whole balance because it, let's say everybody is like, that's their star player. They're going to throw to them. So, of course, it makes sense you want to come out and throw to somebody that they're not even looking for. They're not even too much worried about because he hasn't been proven. You know, I'm a stick to proven guy, too. I get that, you know.
Proven to produce well. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance. You know what? Like I said, a couple of these guys will blow up, and you should look for them, but don't
overreact.
Don't overreact, is all I'm saying. Don't overreact, and I said, and look for the ones that are overreacting.
It's a game of inches, people. A game of inches.
All right, Pacino, Coach Pacino. I just wanted to add that, my son is doing his first fantasy football league this year. First team,
club
baseball team, the fundraiser we did, and he got the number two pick, and with the number two pick, he took Adrian Peterson.
Oh.
And I'm like, welcome to fantasy football, bro. I go, man, what a great omen that is to start your fantasy football life.
Oh, I know.
Now, mind you, they didn't play week one, so the season starts this year. So he can get week one of Adrian Peterson.
Right.
So he drafted him, and then a week later, all this is breaking out. And I'm like, man, that's a bad omen for your fantasy football life.
Dang.
But we've all been there. You're just getting that. You know, I've been there.
Yeah, and they're going to take action quick now because everything.
He's getting to feel the joy
of
losing your first round pick before the season even starts. His first time ever playing. He's getting to experience that joy.
Oh,
by joy, howdy. I mean agony.
Agony.
So I was like, poor. Yeah. You know, I told him. He looked at me and goes, you know, when he saw it, he looks at me and I go, I know that look in your eye. I've had that.
He better pick up Herm.
Yeah, pick up Herm. Anyway, that's pretty much, fantasy football. We got AP. Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not going to go over player by player. That bores me even thinking about it.
Ouch.
I'm not going to do likes. I don't likes this week. Unless you want to hear them. Do you want to hear them?
I don't know. It kind of helps me with my game.
Because not everybody, they're on your team. You know, and I'm thinking,
right.
You're going to start them or you're not going to start them.
Yeah, you know I'm good with that.
I'm going to tell you, I don't like Victor Cruz this week. For the same reason I didn't like Philip Rivers last week, which I was right.
Yeah.
Anyway, because of these corners. So I don't like Victor Cruz this week because he's going against Patrick Peterson or Cromartie. And I mean, the secondary for Arizona looked awesome.
Yeah, they did.
You know, against a good passing team.
Right.
Looked awesome in the fact because all they did was blitz everybody.
Right.
And the blitz was awful. Kept getting picked up by the offensive line. And Rivers still had nobody to throw to. They were pretty much saying, look, we're going to keep four guys back here. We're going to, with those four guys, we're going to guard your four receivers.
Right.
And good freaking luck.
Right, right.
Yeah, good luck. So we're going to blitz everybody else because we don't even need them.
Right. Who you got?
And to be honest, the blitzes weren't working because, like I said, the offensive line was doing a great job of picking them up for San Diego. But Arizona's, you see Rivers all this time and he has nowhere to go with the ball. And Victor Cruz, I don't like, but you're going to start Victor Cruz.
Right.
In what league are they probably, if you're in a league where you have Victor Cruz on your team, and if I tell you to sit him and you have that option to sit him, you don't need me anyway because your team must be stacked beyond belief. Either that or you're in a four-team fantasy league. Right. you know what I mean? So what do you need me for if somehow you're in a situation where you can choose to not start Victor Cruz on any given week? So we did that last week, and that was great and all. Maybe I'll do it again down the road, but I didn't have a whole lot of fun last week. We could go over my picks last week.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
And then where my were picks, they? Too.
I'm the most organized guy in the world. Let me go through my eight pieces. Okay. That was a joke. That's me kind of top. I told you.
I thought these was it right here.
Full disclosure. No, they're right here. That's different.
Oh, okay.
All right. So my stardom's last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right, right. Because we want to see if you was right. That's right.
Nick Foles against Jaguars. Foles didn't do horrible. He did all right. He had a pretty decent day. But I also told you to start Tony Romo against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. In my defense, I didn't know Tony Romo was 75 years old. Did you watch him play? Guy, I'll tell you this. Oh my God, Cowboy fans, I didn't know this. It's one thing to throw interceptions. It's another thing when you move as fast as me and you throw interceptions. Romo, there's something wrong with Romo, and this is in all serious. I was watching him in the pocket. I'm like, the guy can't move. The guy looks like he is underwater and everybody else is playing on the, in grass. You know what I mean? He does not look healthy. You know, he had the back surgery. He did, the ball has no snap when he's moving around. He's an athletic guy. This was Mr. Basketball in his, you know, in high school when he grew up, wherever he went. He had more basketball scholarship offers than football.
Oh, wow.
He's athletic and he can move.
Right.
Not anymore. Not right now. I don't know if this is best case scenario for a Cowboy fan. This is, he's just rounding back into shape from the back surgery.
Right.
But man, he looks bad. Like he just, he looks unhealthy. I mean, I think just his body shape has changed. I mean, he just looks unhealthy. He looks a little more doughy.
Right.
In his face. I was looking at his face looks a little doughy. Like he's put on some, like, you know, like you would look if you can't really work out and do the things you want to do.
Right.
I know that look.
Right.
Although I can, I just choose not to, I guess. Anyway. So here I am making excuses for my picks, but Romo, he will no longer be on any of my stardom list. Guys, go another way because he just looks like he's not healthy. My sit-ums for that. Alex Smith versus Tennessee. Nailed it.
Yeah, you did nail that.
He wasn't – I mean, Tennessee ate him up. And my other sit-em quarterback was Phillip Rivers against Arizona.
All right.
And 238 yards and one touchdown and one interception is shutting down Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? So, okay, on to the we'll do – yeah, okay, running back. C.J. Spiller had a good day.
See, and I put him
– that was my starter running back. Yeah, C.J. had a good day.
I listened to you on that one, too.
Frank Gore – I don't think he did, much.
I don't think Frank.
Well, I remember that other one. They were using that Carlos Hyde a lot, so that's a concern, guys.
Right.
It looks like, I mean, Frank Gore is still their starter. Now, mind you, they were up, 28-3 in no time against the Cowboys, and it was kind of cruise control after that. They were kind of letting Dallas kind of creep back into it.
Right.
But I think they kind of understood that the game was in their hands.
Frank got 16 rushes, 16 carries, 66 yards. So
he didn't score, right?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, the 16 carries. I mean, they were giving Carlos Hyde quite a few carries as well, and Carlos Hyde was run.
I mean, Hyde had 7, and he got 50 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So that's something
to watch. Gore's still the starter, but he's going to lose some carries to this kid who looked good. He's their kind of the future in the backfield.
Yeah.
At Ohio State, rookie running back, runs hard. So, all right. Running backs I said to sit was Sankey against Kansas City, Tennessee's Bishop Sankey, which he got less carries than Sean Green did. When I tell you, if you're not beating Sean Green out for a starting job, you should not be on a fantasy starting lineup. And I am right because Sean Green actually got more carries, if I remember correctly, than Sankey. And I also said, and I nailed this one, look, you look it up if you want. Steven Jackson. I believe he got 11 carries. And I think he gained a fairly decent amount of yards off 11 carries. I think he averaged about, 4 or 5 yards a carry. But I knew they weren't going to give him the touches because he hasn't been healthy.
Right.
So he didn't really do much on a, you know, fantasy-wise because they used about a 3-back set. They used him that, what was his name? The backup. It was Devontae Freeman who got a few touches, but the one right behind him actually, Jaquizz Rodgers, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
They're using kind of all 3 backs. Again, Steven Jackson, they're going to try to save. They're going to try to space him out. I just don't think he's going to get a lot of the touches. He's definitely a start in certain spots, especially if you need a flex player, because he will get touches.
Right.
But he's not getting 25 carries a game anymore. He's just not going to do it. All right, wide receivers. Let's see how I did. Vincent Jackson against Carolina. We're going to have to look that up because off the top of my head, I have no idea. That was a stardom for me. Michael Crabtree against Dallas. Again, he did essentially nothing because they had that game won. That game did not go the way I expected. I thought Dallas would be able to score because I thought they had a healthy Tony Romo.
Right.
That could move the ball, but they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't
do anything.
Vernon Davis got the touchdown passes. I mean, they didn't really need anything beyond the first half of the game.
What was the one before that you just told me to look up?
Look up Vincent Jackson for Tampa Bay.
Right, right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think he did much either. I think I kind of sucked on my wide receiver stardoms. But I was right on DeSean Jackson on my sit-em against the Houston Texans. He did essentially nothing.
Right.
And you know what? What's his name? Mike Wallace against the Patriots actually had a fairly decent game. I don't think he got 100 yards, but he got close to it. And he scored a touchdown. So, I didn't do that great. It was okay. I'm not going to lie. Hey, that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm an expert. And anybody tells you an expert, they're full of it.
All right.
You don't know until the game happens. No one expected the San Fran game to go quite exactly.
I know
like
I
that.
Was mad about Martin, man. I was like, yeah, Vincent Jackson, he got four receptions for 36 yards.
Yeah, you're welcome, people, for having you start him. Hope you enjoyed that 3.6 points. 7.6 if you get a point per reception. So, you know, listen to me and you'll go places. Like last place. I'm not going to beat myself up. I did all right. I called some good ones.
Yeah, you did. You did call some real good ones. And that all fairness, like you said, like even you noticed, like when you saw, you know, Romo moving around, you was like, oh, I didn't expect that.
I watched that game right at the beginning, and I saw their first drive, and I said, uh-oh. I just watched the way he was moving. I'm like, this is a problem. And I was thinking that exact thing. I was like, I told people to start Roman. I'm just watching just the way he's moving. I'm like, this isn't good. This is going to be a bad day. Cowboy fans, congratulations. I think you got a top three draft pick coming your way this year. I think you guys are in big trouble. But I won't bust on the Cowboy fan. Moving on. Okay, that fantasy football. Week two. Again, all I got to say is I'm not going to give any.
It's just week one, everybody.
Relax on week one. Hold down the fort. One of my leagues, I had the highest scoring team of the league. And the other of my league, and the other one of my teams was the lowest scoring team of the league for the week.
Right.
And you know what? The team that scored the lowest, I actually like better than the team that scored the highest. You know what I mean? It's just the way it went.
Right, right.
So now, of course, I'm talking all the trash I can on the league that I won and right. making all the excuses I have on the one that I lost. All right? That's what fantasy football is all about.
Yeah, I got to up my trash talking on both leagues. I lost them both. So
take the credit, place the blame. That's fantasy football.
Take the credit, place the blame.
All right? All right.
Fantasy football. You heard it here first.
Now, what I want to move on to is this isn't just fantasy football here. I mean, not just only. Because right. fantasy football is gambling. We try to give you the rounded out gambling experience. So we had me and Chris pick all the games against the spread with the idea being, here I am, a guy who's watched football forever.
Right.
Work in casinos. Think I know something about, you know, betting lines and what they're trying to look for and this and that. Think I know a little something about all these teams. Against Chris, who admittedly.
Yeah.
There's the New Orleans Saints and everybody else.
That's it.
He knows who they
I'll
are.
Catch it when it's on. And you know, not living in New Orleans, when are you really going to see a Saints game? Out here, what, when they play the Cardinals? They ain't playing them this year, so I might never see a Saints game.
So just so you know, our running totals after week one, we picked every game against the spread. And that was all 16 games. And we both sucked. We both went 6-9-1. So, games that surprised me. You know, it's so funny when you go back and look at these.
Like what was I thinking?
What the hell was I thinking? Let me give you an example of that. Let me see. Look at the game I lost. Oh, I picked the New York Giants getting 6.5 at Detroit. Now, look at that now going, dude. What is going on with the Giants to make me think they were going to cover that? I know I probably wasn't thinking they're going to win, but I think they're going to cover. And I start thinking, you know, they were bad last year. And what's another one?
You got caught looking at preseason or something. I don't even know. Did they even know how they did?
Yeah, I just didn't. I'm like, why would I even pick them? Oh, I picked the Rams giving up three. I picked the Rams giving up points against the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm like, you laughing. You picked some.
I'm laughing like you was.
But I'm laughing because I'm looking. I'm like, once you look at it, I'm going, dude, how did I pick the Rams in that? Especially looking back, they get annihilated. They just lost their starting quarterback. I'll tell you what I thought. I had so much faith in the Rams defense. I thought that.
Yeah, they do.
What's his name? Who was the backup? Gosh, I can't even remember his name. Sean Hill. I thought Sean Hill really wasn't that much of a drop off from Sam Bradford. Right. At least from what they've had out of Sam Bradford so far. Only problem is Sean Hill didn't play very well and then got hurt in the second quarter. So they went to their third quarterback.
Whoever that
but
was.
I think Minnesota dropped 34 points on the Rams defense.
Yeah.
Or at least they scored 34 points in that game.
Yeah, I thought the defense that was the defensive play was shocking.
Yeah, and Minnesota's like a pretty good football team. Like, right. You know, I'm like, why did I disrespect Minnesota so much?
And they, and that was the one game they had Adrian Peterson.
Right. You know, and they have a good defense. And I'm just looking at that now going, how did I pick St. Louis? You know, but anyway. So anyway, that's what you get. And that's
did I pick them too? I picked St. Louis too.
No, you picked Minnesota.
Ha-ha, see, because I knew. When I was determining what to pick, I was trying to tell you, Brad, but you didn't listen.
Yeah. Actually, I thought you picked pretty well, because even the ones that you let's see, what were you? What did I think? What did I get right that you got wrong? Nah, you know, you took Chicago. That's reasonable. -7, and I took Buffalo.
What was the one? That was the one you beat me a half a point.
Well, yeah, there was the half a point. That was the San Diego Arizona game. Because that was the only one I kind of nailed. I go, I think Arizona's gonna win, but I think it'll be less than three. I think it's gonna be that tight. I think a field goal at the end, but it wasn't. It was holding. You know, San Diego had the ball at the end.
Right, right.
They stopped them. Yeah, so we're 6-9-1. We are going to do the running total. We've made our picks this week, and looking at them, I'm not going to go game by game, but it's interesting because I see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm counting 7. Yeah, 7 games out of the – we didn't do the Thursday night game because, like I said, this is Friday. So we're just doing the 15 on Sunday and Monday. Right. But 7 of the 15 we disagreed. So, we're gonna see if it really matters if you actually watch a lot of football or if you just really casually watch
the Saints.
So, there you have it. All right. What else did I want to touch on? I think that's pretty much it for this week. Do you have anything else you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, man. Just be nice to your kids this week, everybody.
Just your families in general.
I mean, love your wife. You know, just because it's football season, you don't get no free passes till Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And not only, I'm just getting tired of hearing stories that related to football when it comes to hurting wives and children.
Yeah, don't. You know what I think it is? I mean, if you're upset, stay out of closed up areas. Take the stairs. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
One thing I wanted to talk about. One other thing.
All right.
How does Commissioner Roger Goodell still have his job? You give the ridiculous suspension to Ray Rice in the first place.
Right, right. Definitely ridiculous.
You have the backlash, and for some reason, this is what you're going to put your foot down when you've honestly...
And of course...
You've over penalized people.
Right.
He weighs on the side of overdoing it. But on this one, when you knew... I mean, we knew what the story was. Right. We knew his wife was knocked out and she was getting dragged out of an elevator.
Dragged like
if you're
like,
knocked out, what do you think happened like inside that elevator?
There was it wasn't even remorse even shown from what I saw on the
not
dragging out. Like, I mean, this dude is huge. He could have like picked her up, placed her over his shoulder, no remorse. He just he didn't even drag her all the way out. Her legs were keeping the elevator open. Like it was ridiculous. What do you think happened in there? You sprinkled fairy dust on her and she fainted? Like, right. I mean,
it's just, and like I said, we're hearing all the stories on him claiming he hadn't seen the video, but there's an investigator saying he sent it and he has proof, and we'll see where this goes. But I mean, at this point, how do you not step down? Because this story has bitten you in the ass 3 or 4 times over the last few months.
You're gonna step down.
Like, it's one thing to have something bite you in the ass once, but then you do the things to fix it.
Right.
But this is the 3rd or 4th time this story alone has come back. You know, every couple months it's come back and bit him in the ass. Like, come on.
I don't see how this doesn't, first of all, where I stand on it is, you know, I think playing professional football, like, I understand they get paid and understand that's their job, but I feel like it's more of a privilege. So I don't care about Ray Rice ever playing again. Like, you know, you did what you did, whatever. I know people out there saying, hey, well, you know, there's domestic violence all the time, and you know, people don't be losing their jobs over it. Well, hey, whatever. You know, this dude's making millions of dollars. You can't hold it together. You can't keep it together. But the thing of it is like, you know, like you said, hey, you could have gave him the harsh punishment. It was all on Ray Rice, essentially. Now you open the door for Ray Rice to even possibly sue the NFL, you know, because you already ruled on him. Now you're going to take it back and rule again. And then there's so many things that's happening in the NFL. I think we talked about Ray McDonald and his domestic issues, and the guy who plays for Carolina. You know, like, there's other issues that happen after Ray Rice that, you know, these guys are still playing. So there, you know, and it's like, dude, you're slipping on all fronts, like on all kind of fronts when it comes to domestic violence in the NFL. So, you know,
I mean, it goes back further than that. I mean, you've had Leonard Little, you know, guys, and Dante Stallworth, where you had, you know, vehicular manslaughter, driving drunk and killing people. Here's the thing, like a point you touched on, you think it's a privilege. I think the NFL, playing in the NFL, is a privilege for the privileged.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I hear a lot of, I'll debunk a lot of arguments where a guy will come up to my job, you know, and go, hey, if we did this at our job, we get fired. And I go, yeah, because a million other people can do our job. We're freaking peons, right?
Right.
Don't blow yourself up.
Definitely, right.
There ain't nobody else on the planet, or very few on the planet, that can run like Ray Rice can.
Yeah, right, for real.
You know what I mean? That's why they get, you know, the privileged get the privileges.
Right.
They get the preferential treatment. So it's not really, you can't really look at it that way, because, you know, it's not like everybody can do that job.
But it's just like... And then they're trying to put it all on them now. But go ahead.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, when you see something like that.
Right.
Like you said, just based off what you, even before you saw what inside, the, like you said, what we saw outside, the dragging out of the elevator and all that stuff. You know, that is monstrous, diabolical behavior.
Right.
That is just a huge, huge concern and a problem, and completely unacceptable. And you got to act accordingly. I mean, there is something. And then when you see the video inside, yeah, that's the appropriate. I mean, how could you not take that action? But how couldn't you take it before?
Right.
Because, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, if you...
And he admitted to punching her.
Hey, look, I am married.
He said he punched her.
Yeah, I am married.
She said he punched her. You know what I mean? Like,
And it's so obvious. Like, even to me, here I am. I'm no expert on domestic abuse and common tendencies. But even I know that I've seen enough... episodes of, you know, cops or shows to know. I'm like, you don't sit there and take the battered wife's, like, opinion into account as far as, oh, it was an accident. Oh, it's never happened before. Oh, you know, it was just as much my fault. I was, you know, like, it really looks like they really kind of took, you know, her stance, which she was, oh, he married her.
Right.
You know, like, this is common, like, battered women syndrome type behavior.
Yeah, definitely, right.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll self... women that
blame themselves.
They'll blame themselves.
I shouldn't have did this.
They'll self-analyze and rationalize it to
but
where...
But he loves me. Right. You look like she need to watch that video again.
Right. I mean, even no she love. Came out... Here you go. She came out and blamed everybody. Blaming everybody for what they're doing to her family. And this... You know, I mean, it's... And you look at it, you can't look... I can't look at it, but help feel sorry for it, because I'm like, you know, you see the air and the mentality and how she's processing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, this is a guy who's a mom. He knocked your ass out cold.
Cold, like a man. Like, hit you like you was like just scum of the earth.
That's unacceptable for someone who hates you.
Right.
I mean, that's unacceptable behavior. Right. Like, that's violent. And this is the one person in the world that's supposed to protect you above all others.
Did you hear the press conference where the first one, like before any of this new tapes came out, where they were apologizing? Like, he apologized to his fans. He apologized to the NFL. He apologized to everybody but her, and then said, oh yeah, and you know, my wife has some stuff to say too, and then handed her the mic, and then she went to apologizing. Dude, you knocked her out cold. You couldn't even give her an apology right there in front of everybody. Like, I was like, and I noticed that right off the bat. I was like, he didn't even apologize to her. Like, forget the fans. The fans didn't get hit.
Right. And I mean, that's, like I said, and now, like I said, here we go. We're getting off topic. Right. No, I agree completely. But I mean, like I said, getting back to Goodell.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, this is a, you got to sit there and just look at it and use your friggin' head.
Right.
You're the commissioner of us, you know, you're one of the most powerful people in the country, being the commissioner of the NFL.
Right.
You really are. You have the access to anything you want, the access, anything you want to act. You tell me that old, what's his name? TMZ, Harvey Levin or whatever.
Right.
He's more powerful than you and he's going to get this tape and you don't. You're out of your friggin' mind.
That's what I'm
mind.
Saying. Like, yeah. Exactly. That's, that, it doesn't even make sense. Like, you're lying is the way they lied about it. It's just kind of like, eh, I didn't see it.
Right.
It wasn't me.
You're one of your NFL players is dragging an unconscious woman Come that's on, his man. Girlfriend.
Like a
whoever.
Caveman. Like, yeah. Worse than that.
He's done. He's done right then. Not two games when you just gave a year suspension to a guy like we just talked about, Gordon,
right.
Who just barely had the levels of, you know, failing a marijuana test where it was right. Like it was barely above the norm. And it's
even Welker got four games.
You know, yeah, not to mention everything that happened, like Pac-Man Jones, which was all stuff. And he was never, right. You know, like I said, okay, again, Ray Rice isn't convicted yet.
Right.
But you got video of him dragging.
But you know what? He's not going to be the as far as under the impression that I'm under is legally Ray Rice. All that is done with.
Well, he can't. Well, here's the thing. Now that she's his wife, she can't be forced to testify against him.
But then he already took, from what I understood, he already took the plea deal where he has to do the anger management classes, like
right.
All of that said and done. They can't, like, the law definitely, you know, it's not like it's new evidence because they the ones who initially sent the video to
right.
The NFL.
I think, you know, like I said, a lot of that, why that plea is out there is because now that they're married, I mean, there's some hands that are tied there. Yeah, but I mean, very naive approach to a domestic abuse dispute by Roger Goodell in the NFL. Like I said, I'm no expert, but I mean, you know certain trends and behavior from both members, you know, both the victim and the aggressor, so to speak. And it looks like that wasn't even considered. I mean, I don't know where you ever come with two games right from the get-go. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so Goodell, step down.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, this is just the latest in a long line for me as far as him. I have not been a fan of Roger Goodell at all. But
we should do like a trading places, you know, like me and Roger Goodell. I'll play like the Eddie Murphy character.
Here's the thing, though. He makes like $50 million a year.
That'll be a good trade then because it'll be like he's going broke.
He makes like $50 million a year. And yeah, the trading places. And I don't think he's going anywhere. He's not stepping down. He's like,
he ain't gonna. It's not going to happen.
Anyway. All right.
He's got too much backup, so he's gonna use it to get out of it.
Very serious edition of the fantasy football dish here. But you know what? It's the NFL's fault.
It is.
They're sitting there not letting us make it about football. We're sitting around. It's almost watch football and you're kind of embarrassed to watch it in some
ways.
You
are, and you feel bad, and then it's like, you know, I got a lot of respect for my wife. A lot of us have respect for our women and daughters and mothers and, you know, and grandmothers and things like that. And it's kind of like obviously this guy doesn't give a crap.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, no compassion was shown towards her at all. Didn't seem like to me. And regardless of it being their issues. And I grew up around a lot of domestic issues, not in my own home. I've never saw that. That's one thing my dad didn't do. Now, he might have whooped my butt.
Well, going back, like you said, going back to the Chris Rock thing, the butt,
right.
I understand.
Right.
There was a piece of that about,
right.
wasn't about hitting your girl or something,
right,
like that.
Right, yeah, well, OJ and all that.
You know,
yeah,
I'm not saying I'd do it, but
right.
I understand. And
right.
You know what? He's right. I understand feelings. Like you say, when you're
right.
in a real relationship, I always say, like, my wife knows me better than anybody. I care
right.
about her more than anybody. So obviously she has the ability
to
push me more than anybody else does. And I've
mm-hmm.
been angered by her, and she's been angered by me.
Right.
Probably to an extreme more than any other person has ever driven me.
Right.
But even then, I can't even give the Chris Rock line to what I saw with Ray Rice.
Yeah, that,
because
that
I could never, I could never possibly even imagine having the anger and the ability to violently just come with a left hook or right hook or what. I think it was a left hook. You know what I mean? Like in that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could see like anger will drive you to do some. You know, could potential. I could see the potential when you hear some of these stories and go, you know, it's scary because you know. You get driven to the point. It's just, you know, all things happen at the wrong time. But
it's just like what's going on in their heads, man. I mean,
That's the thing.
It's scary.
It's just scary.
It is scary, dude.
Monsters.
I don't even think I would. I mean, I can understand being mad at, you know, at another guy, and we're like, you know, we're fighting in the elevator, but just like, I mean, just the whole thing. Like, even though she was coming at him, he could have grabbed her, held her, whatever. But he hit her first, from what I saw in the thing, and then he backed up and she charged him, and then he just let her have it, like no worries, just. This is the right thing to do. This is a terrorist. I'm hitting Bin Laden right now. Like, you know, I'm just like, this is ISIS. it was just ridiculous. Like, wow. Yeah. Wow. I was, dude, you, yeah. I don't care if you lose your job.
Anyway, next week, we'll see if something happens with Goodell. We'll see where we're at with Adrian Peterson, if it's a 1 week thing or if this is going to continue to linger throughout the whole year. Chris. Good time, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
That's right.
You better be next week.
Don't pooty tang your children out there. Yeah.
There you go. Pooty tit. Wow. All right. I'm out of here. Chris, tell them where they can find us.
Hey, we're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Also, you can follow us on EHAS Sports on Facebook. Please give us some feedback. Let us know what you want to hear in comments and everything. Who knows? We might try to start some things to get you guys on the show. So pay attention. We out there. iTunes and Stitcher. We love you guys. We're out.
See you.